Well, good morning. Jackie, Crystal, nice to have you back. It was fun to keep track of your trip with all the pictures and everything, so looked like a blast. Good to see you. Larry, Darlene, how are you guys? And Carol Lee, this is her last Sunday. So everybody make sure you give her a big hug. She's heading back to Kindersley today, is it? Today. And look, she came to say goodbye one more time. Thank you for coming here. We've sure enjoyed having you. We want to pray. Actually, let's pray. Let's pray God's blessings on her. She's heading to Kindersley, back to parents. Would you just pray with me? Father God, we thank you for our dear sister. Thank you for the blessing she has been to this church family, for her faithfulness. And Lord, all the things that you are working in her and through her, Lord, I pray that she would know that the same Jesus that has been with her here is the same Jesus that goes with her back to Kindersley. We pray for your plan to come to fruition for her, that you would make it very clear. And I pray that as that plan is becoming clear, that she would just be instilled with the joy of the Lord and the peace of Christ, because she knows her Father's looking after it. All will come to plan and she can just rest in it. So let her enjoy this period of time while the rest of the plan unfolds. And Lord, may she be reminded of your great love for her and your plan that you have for her life. Everything's in its proper place. So thank you for her, Lord, and we've been grateful to have her here for such a time as this. Thank you, Jesus, and we pray this in your name. And everybody said, amen. You can't leave before I give you a big hug. I'll hold my head away. I know I'm a little sick, but one more hug. Okay, we went through 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, and it's been a lot of fun. I know, I appreciate everybody's just comments and feedback. I know we enjoyed it together, and I'm kind of sad that it's over, actually, and we're moving on to something else. I really, really enjoyed doing that. Let me just get this up here. I cannot multitask. Okay. There, how's that? Is that working? Okay. So we walked through 1 Peter, and one thing I want to mention, it's interesting, I had a number of great conversations around this over this past couple months, actually. And I just wanna even Peter does this. These words in Christ, they are all over in the New Testament scripture. And so you'll see them write it in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And so I just want to, even in Peter at the very end, so I'll just mention, just because we finished Peter, but even Peter, just in the last bit of his letter, as he's finishing off this first letter, and he says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ," right, in Christ, after you suffer a little while. And then at the very end, of course, he mentions it again, "Peace to all of you who are in Christ." And he mentions those words, in Christ or through Christ is another word, and it's mentioned all over Scripture. So it was going to take too long to put them all up, but I just want to run through some other scriptures where it mentions these words in Christ. And I won't give you them all because it's a huge list, but I put them in the notes part of my phone here, my iPhone. But Romans 3:24, "We are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Let's do another one, Romans 6:11. "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Let's do Romans 8:1. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Okay, let me get out of Romans. There's lots in Romans. Corinthians, "To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people." Remember in chapter 5, Peter also mentioned, when he mentioned in Christ, that we are called, that we are a called and chosen people. Let's go 1 Corinthians 1:30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus. It's because of him that you are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. In Christ. Let me give you a few more. How about Galatians 2:4? This matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. It is so mentioned throughout Scripture. Let's go to, I'll flip to Ephesians. How about Ephesians 2:6? And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And so I could go on and on and on. How about Colossians 2:10? And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. In Christ. And there are so many here, it would take up my whole preaching time to get through all of the verses that are there talking about in Christ. And so it is used so much in Scripture that I just wanted to talk about it before we move on. Because I don't want to glaze. If we don't understand everything, then we haven't read everything. If we don't understand what we've read, then we don't understand what we've read. Amen? Right? We have to take the time to break it down and say, okay, what is this talk about in Christ? What does that mean? What are the letters in the New Covenant that Peter and Paul and the writings and even the gospel writers, right? They mention in Christ. In Christ. What does that actually mean to be in Christ? How do I live in Christ? And I think it's an important subject to talk about. And just as I was thinking about Peter and finishing off, and here it is, and Peter mentioned throughout his letter a few times, in Christ. So it's important to talk about what that means. What does that mean that we are in Christ? Over the centuries, there's been many, 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 many messages written on Jesus saving us from our sins, right? And that's a very important deal, isn't it? We needed forgiveness from our sins. But I think we also need to talk about just as much, okay, now that Jesus forgave our sins and he died on that cross to forgive us our sins, now what? What did that do? Right? And that's what we call kind of discipleship now. Right? Right? What did that do? The fact that Jesus died on the cross. Why did he die on the cross again? Why did he rose again? Why was that important? And why did he send the Holy Spirit, the helper? Like, why did he do that again? And how does the Holy Spirit live in me? Does the Holy Spirit live in me? And if he does, how does he live through me? How does the power of Christ move through me in my everyday life? And that's important to talk about, right? Right? We need to talk about that. And so that's kind of what I want to go with today in the short amount of time. And I won't be able to get in great detail because there's so much to talk about there. But I hope I can give you a good overview today of what these early believers who wrote these New Covenant letters in the Bible, what are they meaning when they talk about in Christ? Why are they always saying in Christ? So what would be the opposite of in? Out, right? So let's start there. First of all, they're saying, hey, we're now in Christ now. We're not out, right? We're in. We are in. And so let's go back a little bit, okay? Because let's just look at this one verse before I do that, right? John 14:23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home in them. Okay? Now, so where does Jesus live? In those who've called on his name, right? In those who've come to say, yes, Jesus, I believe. I invite you in. And remember what Jesus said? Anyone who knocks on the door, I will open to them, right? I will open. And I, my Father, will come and make our home in them. So this is very important Does Jesus live in a building? Where did he choose to make the temple of his dwelling? Yes, us, right? We are now the temple for his Holy Spirit to dwell. Corinthians talks about that. If you read through Corinthians, it'll talk about our bodies are now the place for him to dwell. Amen? Now, I want you just to think about that. We just say that, and we can maybe glaze over that, but I want you to think about that. God, the creator of the universe, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, have come and made their home where? In you. Isn't that an amazing thing? God of the universe, how does he live in us? He's huge, right? Maybe we just have this huge spiritual capacity to be able to have him come in us, right? I don't know how it all works, but we believe it, don't we? And we believe it because of the fruit that is seen in our lives. Because I know without him, nothing happened. But in him, so many cool things happened. Amen? By your fruits, you will be revealed. Right? So he lives in here. Now, in the old covenant, where did God dwell? Yes, he was in the tabernacle, right? They built the temple, right? And they carried that tabernacle back to the temple. And you remember I talked about this before. What happened to the person who thought the tabernacle was going to fall and he put up his hand and touched it? The Ark of the Covenant, sorry. What happened? Do you guys remember? He died. Yeah. Why did he die? Because they weren't in Christ yet, were they? Right? They weren't in Christ yet. Right? So that holy, there was nothing to transform that holiness and that power of God. Right? The once for all sacrifice had not been happened yet. The Holy Spirit had not come to dwell in man yet. And so man could not, we could not stand against the power and the holiness of God. And so he touched it and boom, that was it. Because there was no transformer to do it. Right? Anybody ever been in a lightning storm and the transformer blew? Right? It is, it's a brutal thing. We were at a golf course this summer. And we're parking the carts. I was helping the lady because a storm hit. And we're helping park the carts in this tin kind of thing. And that lightning struck. And if it wasn't for that transformer, we would have probably blown up. Right? But that transformer was able to save everything there. It blew it up, but it saved it. Jesus is our transformer. That's how we can stand before God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We can't stand before Father any other way, right? That's why Paul, the Apostle Paul, he says, we approach his throne with confidence now. Not because of anything that we've done, but everything that Christ has done. I can stand freely and firmly in him. If it fell, I could hold it. I'm not going to die, right? So in the old covenant, the way of life, they had to bring sacrifices yearly for the forgiveness of their sins. And the shedding of that blood of that animal, that unblemished animal, right? It's an unblemished animal. The shedding of that blood of that unblemished animal covered their sin. Didn't fix the sin, right? It covered it, right? It covered it. Do you remember the story of Samson? Remember? I always loved that story as a kid. Especially on the felt boards. Samson was just this ripped dude, chiseled dude. I remember love having the teacher teach about Samson. But here's the thing. Samson, he had the Holy Spirit, didn't he? But the Holy Spirit, did it come in him or on him? On him. There's a big difference. The Holy Spirit came on him, but it also came off of him, didn't it? And what was tying that Holy Spirit on him? The length of his hair. Isn't that kind of a weird thing, right? Ah, it's going to be your hair. If you cut your hair, something bad's going to happen, right? Right? And who talked him into cutting his hair? Well, let's actually not go there. Let's not talk about that. That's another sermon for another day, right? He got his hair cut, and it says the Holy Spirit left him. Now, wouldn't that stink? Right? You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You've experienced it. You were doing things that you not normally could do before. You're doing these amazing things, but all of a sudden now it's gone. There's a difference, isn't there? The Holy Spirit came on, but it also could come off. Is the Holy Spirit today for us? Is it on us or in us? In. There's a big difference. He's in there, and he said, we've made our home there. I will come to them and make our home in them. He's right here. So this word mystery is used in a couple of the books in the New Testament. And it says the mystery of the gospel, which is, do you remember? Christ in you, your only hope of glory. And even Paul recognized it's a mystery. I don't quite understand it, but I know it's real. It is the mystery of the gospel. It is the secret power to the believer to know that everywhere you go, he goes with you. And I think we forget about that sometimes. Where does he live? Mi corazón. Right? In me, in my heart. That's why some mornings I wake up and I go, hello, Jesus. Hello, Holy Spirit. Hi, Father. And I'd be right in doing it, wouldn't I? Because I know he lives here. I think sometimes we think he lives in a book, but he doesn't live here. We can read about him here. I think sometimes we think he lives in a building. He can come, but he hasn't made his home here. Where did he make his home? Yes, who said that? Amen, brother. Air five. In us. Exactly. He chose to make his home in us. I remember this one guy, I had to laugh. His friend, he always says, man, my buddy, whenever he's preaching, he's always asking a visitation from God. A visitation from God. We need a visitation from God. And then he looked at me and says, I think I'm going to ask him a question. I said, what are you going to ask him? He said, I'm going to ask him, if you keep asking for a visitation from God, you might want to ask him, why did he leave in the first place, right? And I think, I know we use words, but they can start to take definition and make us believe something that's not actually the real truth, right? Right, just like we say there's power in prayer, right? We talked about that. But there's actually not power in prayer. There's power in the one whom we're praying to, right? That's where the power is. It's in him. And we're hoping he will answer our prayers. Or we pray, thy will be done, because you know best. Amen? Right? It is the secret to you in your everyday walk. So everybody extend your arm out with your palm in. Look down at your heart. Say, hello, Jesus. Hello, Father. Hello, Holy Spirit. Right? Because it's the truth. And so I'm not kidding you. I would like you to share in this practice with me this year, okay? When I wake up, I like to put my hand on my heart. And I say, Lord Jesus, you're welcome here. I want your will to be done in my life today. This day does not need Chad and the power of his own flesh. This day needs divinity. So would you come be the divine in through me today? Those people coming in for counseling, they don't need to hear from a man. They need to hear from the Christ in this man. Those people are coming into church on Sunday, they don't need to hear from the man. They need to hear from the Christ in this man. God, I can't even do a dad properly. So would you come be the dad that you need me to be to my kids? And would you come be the husband that you need me to be to my wife? Jesus, I'm asking you to express your life through me today. And I ask this in your name. Amen. And wouldn't that be a great way to start your day? The reminder of the power and the life that you have living within you everywhere you go. Every step you take, every conversation you have, every act of service or work that you do, who is right there with you? Jesus. Amen? It is the power of the believer. That's why Paul says it's the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you, your only hope of glory. That's in Colossians. And so, they said in the Old Covenant temple, when they come to bring that unblemished lamb for the forgiveness of their sins, that it'll be like a river of blood just flowing. It was an absolute bloody mess. And I think I've told you guys, I've talked to you guys about this before, but they would draw lots because only one priest could go in once a year into the Holy of Holies. See, there's the outer courts, then there was the holy place, and then there was the Holy of Holies, and that's where God resided. And what separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place? A veil. It says it was 6 to 8 inches thick. And that was a veil that separated God from man. And once a year, they had to provide an unblemished, couldn't have any blemish on it. You know, I got lumps everywhere. I would be no good as a sacrifice. I am blemished, right? It'd be no good. You had to bring an unblemished animal for the sacrifice of sin. And then you'd have to do it again the next year and the next year. And it would cover your sin, but it didn't fix the sin issue. It would just cover, right? It's the difference between coping with something and finding healing from something, right? Coping just covers it. Healing fixes it, right? There's a difference between those two things. And so what happened? So they would draw lots, and if you got the shorter stick or the longer stick, whichever way they went, right, you had to go in. And they weren't really excited about it. Do you know why? Because you had to follow everything. There was a list of rules of what you had to do before that priest could enter the Holy of Holies. And if you missed one step wrong, what happens to the dude who went in there? He's snuffed out. Yeah. So you know what his buddies would do? His really good friends who they hung out together, shared food together, meals together. You know what, bud? I love you. Here's what I'm going to do for you, just in case we didn't do something right. I'm going to tie a rope around your ankle. And if you don't come out, I'll drag you out. That's what I can do for you. Thanks, bud. Right? And that's what they would do. Because they didn't want to go in there either, right? That's how serious this business was. So when Jesus hung on that cross, why did Jesus hang on that cross? Why? Because we needed forgiveness, didn't we? And Jesus is coming to say he was the once and final for all sacrifice for all of mankind. That my blood shed will be the last river of blood that will flow. I'm doing it once and for all. We no longer have to do this bloody mess. And it's done. Now, we've talked about that. What happened now? What happened to that veil as soon as Jesus gave his last breath? Yes, it was torn asunder. Say it with me. He was torn asunder, right? I love that word, right? It was split in two, which represented what? There's nothing now separating. The sin that so easily ensnared us and entangled us, that created this block between us and God, this veil was done now. There's nothing there because of what Jesus did. Amen? Now, that is the good news of the gospel. Now, what happens in the much more gospel now? Now he sent a helper. We read of that in the book of Acts, right? He sent a helper, his Holy Spirit. It's like the Son went back to be with the Father, and their union together creates this Holy Spirit. If J- just to give you a picture of what's happening, right? And they send their child, the Holy Spirit, to come and live in us. Amen. Right? The Helper. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. Right? Because without it, do we hold any power? No. We have no power. Right? We need the Holy Spirit in our life. That is the engine that allows us to do the works of the ministry that God has called us to do. Just imagery, Cindy. Just imagery. Just creating a picture. Right? So what we need to understand now in this much more gospel is that that's what I want us a reminder of, right? Is that every day, remember, this is where he lives. And I think sometimes we forget about that, right? So let's read this next verse, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. Amen? Let's hear that again. Therefore, if anyone is what? In Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. What is the old that is gone that he's talking about? What is the old that is gone? Well, it's a good question to ask, right? I need to understand that. If now, therefore, since I'm this new creation and I'm new in Christ, what is the old that is left? Well, let's talk about that. Now, there are three parts to us, right? We have a body, right? My bones, my flesh, my organs, everything that you see here, right? Then we have a soul, right? Which consists of my mind, my ability to think, my will, my ability to choose to do, and my emotions, my ability to feel. And we have the spirit. Amen? Now, in the temple, there was three parts as well, right? The outer courts, the holy place, and the holy of holies, right? Now, I could do probably a whole series just on this alone, but let me get to the fact of this part that I want to talk to you about. Now, before God sent the Holy Spirit, we could only act out of two things, right? The soul and the body, right? Which is what the Bible calls, right, walking in the flesh, right? The power of the flesh, right? So, I can use my mind to think of something, and I have these emotions to feel it as well, and then I have a will. I have an ability to choose to do, right? And then I have this body to act on it. But what is missing? The spirit. I don't have the actual source of power that I need in my life, right? And that's what the Apostle Paul calls walking in the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, right? We need the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we are more than conquerors, right? So for you to use your mind, will, your ability to think, your will, your ability to choose to do, right? Your emotions, your ability to feel, right? And you have that body to act on it. You can work out of the power of your own resources without filtering it through what? The Holy Spirit, right? So it's important to talk about this because I think a lot of believers, as I travel the world, we don't have an understanding of that. So how does the Holy Spirit work in my life? How do I work through that source, the Spirit? Because that's what we want, right? Right? And all of us know that. I can try and problem solve on my own, or I can invite the Holy Spirit into it with me, or just recognize that you're here with me. So remember the story I told you when I was in the Indian airport and they wouldn't accept my money, only Americans, so I couldn't pay for my visa and I was stuck there. No bank machine had money in it. I was stuck in Nepal. And my travel agent only gave me a single entry visa. So I couldn't go back to another country. I had to leave from there to go back home. So I have to figure out a way how to be there. And I was stuck. And I was, in my mind, I'm trying all my different things. Okay, yeah, I'll go to the ATM. No, it's out. Okay, I'll try that one. I'll try that one. Oh, I'll try here and try there. Nothing was working. And I finally hit the point where all of my efforts of what I was thinking of trying to do weren't working. So I stopped outside that airport on the sidewalk and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. All of my efforts have not worked. I need to have this visa in order to be here right now. Would you please provide the American dollars that I need somehow, Lord, so I can get my visa here? And I said, amen. And I stood there like this, and I turned to the left and the right, and all of a sudden this taxi guy pulls up. You need a ride? You need a ride? I said, no. He says, what do you need? What do you need? I said, I need money to get my visa for here. Oh, how much you need? I said, I only need $5. He says, I have 10 U.S. I said, that'll do. He says, you promise to, I'll give you, that you'll take my taxi to get where you need to go. You can have it. I said, amen. So then I ran up the down escalator. The guy with the machine guns just looked at me funny, wondering, what is this guy doing? But it was the only way back up to where the guy was because I forgot I left my passport with him. All these mistakes, but everything was still there. It'll pry. Do you understand the difference? You see? See? We recognize that the Holy Spirit is in it with us. Right? I have two printers at home. One's the default printer, and one is not. What does it mean that one says the default printer? Do you know what that means? I have two printers. One's the default. It's the one it automatically goes to, right? Right? It's the one it automatically goes to. When you invited Christ into your life, that is now your default. It's the automatic. The spirit now, not the flesh, right? And I think we feel like when I mess up, I go down to the flesh here, and now I have to build my way back up, right? Work my way back up to the spirit again. And some, most of us feel like I don't even quite make it, and I'm back down here again. And I don't even quite make it, and it gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and I never get back to really walking in the Spirit. That is a false teaching, and that is not how it works. The Holy Spirit is in your life. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and purify you from what? All unrighteousness, right? All that God wants is to recognize where you went off. Right? Not for him, but for you. Right? So I get up and I yell and I call Tracy a bad name in the morning, let's say. Never happens, but let's say it did. Right? And it was wrong. I'm supposed to speak to her in love and kindness. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Right? So I do that. What happens to me? Well, that was a fleshly thing, wasn't it? Now, what do I need to do to get back into the Spirit? Do I need to wallow around in self-pity for a while? Right? Is that what you do when your kids fall on the playground? You stomp on them, you rub them in the dirt a little longer. Did you know what you did wrong? You stay down there till you figure it out. No. We pick them up right away. We ask them, are you okay? Dust them off. Right? And we tell them, maybe you should put your foot there next time so you don't fall. Right? Right? Faster than the speed of light or sound, all I say is, oh, Lord, I recognize that was not the right thing to say. And faster than the speed of light or sound, you're here because that is your automatic, the spirit. Are you with me? Are you with me? This is important because you need to know, how does the Holy Spirit work through me? How do I walk in the Spirit? How do I move forward in this power of the gospel unto salvation for those who believe? How did Jesus feed the 5,000? Remember we talked about that a couple weeks ago? How did he do that? How did it start? By the words of his mouth, Father, would you bless this food? It started there. Your spirit is now the automatic. I think we feel like we have to strive and strain and work harder to get back to the Holy Spirit. But who did the work? Was his not enough? Was the work that he did on the cross not enough that you have to help him out a bit? No. His work was enough. Right? Our work is not enough. He did it all. Amen? Does that make sense? Right? Does that make sense? So let me put it simply this way. Jesus, and I'll end with this. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Right? If you abide in me, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So, when I was in Brazil, I took a picture of a vine. This is the vine right here. Okay, you see that? That part is what the vine is. Okay, everybody can see that? Now here, these are the branches. Can we all see that? Okay, so the red part, that's the vine, and the blue part, or whatever color that is, those are the branches. Is there a branch above another? No. Is there a branch below another? No. They're all equal, right? Right? And what does it say? We're all one, the same in Christ Jesus. Right? We're all equal. Right? Now, here's what it says in John 15. I am the vine, right? So Jesus is this here. You are the branches. That's us here. If you remain in me, if you abide in me, if you rest in me and I in you, you will produce much fruit or bear much fruit? You will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? Now, who does the work? The producer or the bearer? God. Yes. Good answer. Yes, God, the producer. Right? What is the branch's job? The branch's job is merely to receive by faith the work of the vine. Right? That's all it has to do. That's what a better word. My translators, when I travel, they're like, oh, I hate it that you're called Abide in Life Ministry. It says, why? Because abide is such a hard word to translate. Because every word kind of ends with man, but not with God. But abiding ends with Jesus, as you said. I said, yes, that is correct. We abide because he says we abide. There's no work. It's merely receiving the work from the vine, right? So my Father is the gardener, he says. I am the vine. You are the branch. So Jesus does the work, takes from the ground what the branch needs, right? And he feeds it to the branch. And the branch accepts the work from the vine by what? By faith. You ever see, you look at a tree and there's just a dead stick. All the other branches are flourishing. There's leaves everywhere. But then there's just one dead stick. It's because that branch chose not to receive the work from the trunk, from the vine. Right? And so it died, didn't it? So it died. Right? All that you have to do is merely receive the work of the Spirit by faith. Amen? And that is how the work of Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, will be done through you. It'll be done through you. You merely receive his work by faith. Amen. Jesus undid all of the Pharisees' teachings and all these things that they wanted the people to believe in this one little example of the vine and the branch. This simple little teaching of the vine and the branch. So let me tell you, I'll end with this story. Okay, because this story, I'll paint a picture of how it was in my life. So when Tracy and I were first married, I thought I was a very spiritual man. What's so funny, brother? It is funny. And I thought I was so spiritual, very godly man. And my wife, she married a pretty good guy, man. And he knows the Lord, the Lord knows him. And it was fun for the first few months. Everything was fun. And then all of a sudden, I began to realize that she doesn't always do what I say or what I ask, right? And nor should she have done some of the things I said and I asked. And we would get into an argument. And I would blow up, right, the spiritual man I was. And I'd walk over to the couch, and I'd pick up my Bible and sit on that couch. That defiled woman will come to her senses eventually. Sure looks spiritual, doesn't it? But where's the power? I just blew my lid, said all kinds of words that shouldn't have been spoken. Did I get anything out of what I was reading? No. It sure looked spiritual though, didn't it? And I go back over to her. Oh, a good Christian man isn't supposed to do this, so I better go work this out, because that's what a good Christian man does. And I walk back towards her. I say, well, hon, I'm sorry. Well, it's about time you came to your senses. Tired of acting like a foolish little boy. Every time we get in an argument, you have to go up and blow up and do blah, blah. And what am I ready to do again? Rah! And I blow up again, the spiritual man that I am. Right? Now, what's the difference between prior to the Lord bringing the revelation of Christ in me to now? What's the difference? Well, do Tracy and I still get in arguments? Honey, do we? Oh, yes, we do. We don't always see eye to eye. But now I walk away, and I don't pick up my Bible. I sit on the couch. And I say, Father, we got a problem. And he says, you got a problem. I don't think I can love this woman. I don't think any man could love this woman. I think she's impossible to love. I can't do anything right. Everything I do is wrong. How am I supposed to love this woman? Every time this, she yells at this, next, this. And then I sit there and God waits till I'm done my little temper tantrum. And then one day, I'll never forget it, he said, how about you invite me to love her? Because your love in your flesh comes to a point. My love in the spirit lasts forever and ever and ever. So why do you invite me to come be her love? So I'm like, huh, never tried that before. Isn't that interesting? So I got up off of that couch, and I'm like a little chanting, my Lord, come and be my love, Lord, because I can't love her. You have to love her, Lord. I can't do it. My home, my poke, I'm love. I can't love. And I'm chanting this the whole way through with like these cement-led blocks on my legs walking towards her because I don't really want to. Right? And I'm walking towards her, come be my love, Lord. I can't love her. You have to love her, Lord. Love her, Lord, because I can't. And I walk back towards her. I say, honey, I'm sorry. I hate my flesh too. Well, it's about time you came to your senses. I know, right? My flesh stinks. It's not only hostile towards God, it's hostile towards you too. Would you forgive me for what I said? Yes. Now, what's the difference? See, the first time I went in the power of my own resources, right? Working through my soul, power of my mind and my thinking, my will, my choosing to do, and my emotions, my ability to feel. And then I had a body to act on it. The second time, I recognized the Holy Spirit in my life. And then I have to choose him. Can Jesus choose for you? He can't, right? Because he's love. If I force Tracy to love me, is that love? No, what makes it love is choice, isn't it? And God is love. He can't choose. But that time I chose to recognize him in it. Lord, I can't do this without you. You're right. The first time I went without recognizing, I need your power and your love and your life, right? So the second time I invited him in it. Amen. Can we see the difference? Yes? Now, if you have questions on this, please come see me or email me or text me. This is important. This is just a very quick, brief overview of that. But if the Bible uses those words in Christ that many times, we best understand it, right? The mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you, your only hope of glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time that we have just to sit here and talk about you and listen to you. Lord, I am just so grateful that you have made the choice to come put your life in man. Without you, God, we have no power. Lord, would you show your people and teach your people how they live and move in Christ, in you, Jesus. You are the source of our strength, our love, our power, our everything. And apart from you, Lord, we cannot do it. Thank you, Jesus, for doing what you did. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. All right. We will see you next Sunday. Kingdom Kids starts up again September 7th. And then remember, the week after that is Kickoff Sunday. Have a great rest of your long weekend, guys.